You're listening to Martian Gardens. This is episode 971, hour number 2. We're going to start this hour with Kenneth Gaburo, and we'll also hear from Ron Gorka. Two very different pieces. We'll start with Kenneth Gaburo's piece, Mouthpiece 2, which is included on a retrospective of Kenneth Gaburo's work from Pogus Productions, released in 2000, a CD called Tape Play, which is works for electronic music on tape. And Mouthpiece 2 is not exactly a sequel to Mouthpiece 1, which he composed in 1971, using trumpet as the extension of a human voice. In Mouthpiece 2, he uses tapes and a monologue that he wrote after witnessing a dysfunctional family dining at his favorite restaurant in Iowa City. Iowa City was where he was teaching at the University of Iowa and directed the experimental music studios there since 1983. This was written in the last months of his life in 1992, and it's a rather grim account of what happens when a family that appears to be in distress or grief entering the restaurant and ordering a meal and dining and leaving. And this was recorded at the Lewis Studio at the University of Iowa. I like to play this about once a year, just because it's by far my favorite piece from Kenneth Gaburo. We'll follow Mouthpiece 2 with Ron Gorka, who is an Australian composer based in Tasmania. And in 2014, Pogus Productions released a double CD of his works called Atomic Bomb Becomes Folk Art, which includes that 35-minute tape piece called Atomic Bomb Becomes Folk Art, which I'll play again in the near future here on Martian Gardens. The piece that we'll hear, very Australian, is called Dawn in the Wombat Forest. And this features violin by Liza Lim with clavichord, didgeridoo, electronics and field recordings by Ron Gorka, a 1985 composition, which will come up after this nine-minute piece for monologue and electronic tape. Kenneth Gaburo, Mouthpiece 2. You're listening to Martian Gardens, episode 971, recorded April 10th, 2019. And here we go with Kenneth Gaburo. I should say Kenneth Gaburo, the emphasis on the second syllable, Kenneth Gaburo, Mouthpiece 2.
So I'm here, sitting, watching. People come in suddenly. A trio appears. They begin walking toward me. At the very moment, I am using a strange hearing. So we're in this continuum, see. I say, they're trying to burn it. Come on, how can they burn a continuum, I ask myself. And for what? Dunno, but it's burning. They are getting closer. Then Father picks the booth directly across and hangs. His coat on the rack, Mother hangs. Hers on top of his daughter hangs, hers on top of hers. Father slides in, mother sits. To her left, daughter slides in facing them, and me cross wide. Father looks at his nail, scans. The room scratches his nose. Mother covers, her eye bends. Her head adjusts her woolen shawl. Daughter plays with her hair, clenches, her hand bites her fingers. all of a sudden, infectious effluvium begins to rise outwardly. It is now closing in, steam hot. Each subtly twists, burning, in contortions of self, a writhing hiss for protection. The waitress comes. She asks for order. Father orders, mother orders, daughter orders, each does so. At an indescribable level of murmur, as they sit, then, as they scent food to give them something else to do meantime. Father looks at his nail, scans the room, scratches his nose. Mother covers her eye, bends her head, adjusts her woolen shawl. Daughter plays with her hair, clenches her hand, bites her fingers. They might be sitting together with their coats on, for all that being together matters. Once again, the pain dance begins. It takes a long time, but the food does come. Father gets his first, then mother, then daughter. Mother, by now becoming vain, blue-faced, open. Her eye raises her head just high enough, unjusts her woolen shawl, begins to eat. In staccato fashion, she cries and blows. Her nose frequently is in a continuously shifting, slow motion body. Meanwhile, they have no words. Father, by now getting blood red-faced, unclicks. His nail defocuses. The room just blurred enough on scratches. His nose begins to eat everything non-stop, but ever so, so slowly, as if still lifed. Daughter, by now chalk, white-faced, unplayed. Her hair unclenches. Her hand just limp enough unbites. Her fingers eat nothing but poke. Her hiss fork at the food looks away, about and around, goes to toilet, returns, repeats. All of them hover here busily and silently, as an insect's indistinct buzzings would urge a dog on. Daughter looks pregnant. Together. But how else to plot contemptuous reaping hooks? Clearly, there is no love tinkling, but forked tongues of breath hissing venom intensify. Constrained internal mastications are showing. They have no words. Even so, they find strange things to do with straight aheads. Blazing its ice chilled blank full. Doors are so long closed that warm senses cannot come or find utterance any longer. Only the searing hiss of nothingness registers. Ah, yes, they are professionals in their ability to avoid hot light. The air is cut with a rancid knife, and I suck into their pain. Dance, wondering what can be so bad as to invoke such startling catatonia. Ah, this well-acted, incredible song of self-hiss, this motioned period into staring of forever so slight, deflecting glances while skinning the surface, each of the other hoping to observe something, anything in an instant, but for what? Suddenly a trio appears. Ah, I flash. Surely to not fold up. No, no. The game is to not get caught looking. That's for what? And a hovering of mills. sounds around us merely provide minute periods. From pain of hovering futility of this dance, I am thinking it is not really a matter of anger or loneliness of abandonment or desire any longer. Is it? So we're in this continuum, see? I say, they're trying to burn it. Come on, how can they burn a continuum, I ask myself, and for what? Dunno, but it's burning. Is it that father of the enormous suspended streaking sun just eats it? That mother of the sadzita in a steaming bath just eats it? That daughter of the vapor-fuming suture just eats it? Yes, but she's so beautiful. Even though at this moment her chalk-white face seems to be turning gray before my eyes now as she freezes, encircling, tightening and being tightened, in coiling mother now, red-faced from crying, even if I can only see her profile, I feel her hovering, weaving wind-beaten unknown songs. They have no words. Father-like now is slobbered. Although he is on the right side of mother, I remember how he cuts. His meat breaks. His bread slurps down his food. Now, all show a pretense of family, but maintain a sitalis of self. His food is an occasion for silent aggression, as withering shafts of fluttering rainbows are going down. Everyone will be okay by the presence of mereness. They have no words. Suddenly seeming, the bill is brought to the posturing. Peacocks sit silently a while longer, hoping. It will go. Here now. No. 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 So. Father gets up. Pays. The bill puts daughter's coat on the table. Then mother puts his on. No. The burning cannot be for them. They disappear.
Thank you.
Music from Tasmania with Ron Nagorka. That piece was called Dawn in the Wombat Forest. That was from a compilation of Ron Nagorka's works released on Pogus Productions in 2014 called Atomic Bomb Becomes Folk Art. Dawn in the Wombat Forest featured Liza Lim on violin with Ron Nagorka incorporating his field recordings with clavichord, didgeridoo, and electronics. And that's a 1985 composition. Another Pogus Productions release before that from 2000, Kenneth Gabbro, Mouthpiece 2 from Tape Play. That was a monologue written and narrated by Kenneth Gabbro, voice with text and tapes, recorded at the Lewis Studios at the University of Iowa in Iowa City, a 1992 composition. Moving right along on episode 971 of Martian Gardens, we'll hear from John Forshee from his new release on Open Space, Verses from the Ethersphere, Speculative Music of John Forshee. This is a piano piece called Sigil, which derives from the Latin word for seal. It's inspired by the symbols of used in the Congolese magic practices. John Forshee and Sigil. This runs 15 minutes, and the last set of the hour will feature computer music from Barton McLean and harp music from James Tenney. But this 15-minute piece will stand alone. John Forshee, with performed by Joshua Charney on piano, I believe recorded at the University of California, San Diego, although it doesn't say, though I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, this is John Forshee and Sigil. You're listening to Martian Gardens, episode 971. The Martian Gardens blog is martiangardens.blog. Thank you. This is Martian Gardens, episode 971, hour number 2. That was a complex piano piece from John Forshee that was called Sigil, inspired by symbolism in Congolese magic. That was included on an Open Space release, their latest Open Space number 36, from John Forshee, versus from the Ether Sphere, speculative music of John Forshee. Piano on that piece was performed by Joshua Charney, music composed in 2015. And we have just enough time for a couple of more pieces from Barton McLean. We'll hear a 9-minute piece called Magic at Xanadu, dovetailing with the magic symbols inspiring John Forshee. We'll hear Magic at Xanadu, which actually compresses to the acronym MAX, which was the language in which Barton McLean wrote this the software, which he calls Composer's Playpen. And this was recorded at his studios in Petersburg, New York. Barton McLean and his wife Priscilla McLean recorded and performed since the 70s as McLean Mix, as well as performing and recording on their own. And this is Barton McLean's solo CD called Sound Worlds, released on Innova Recordings in 2010. Magic at Xanadu is what we'll hear. And then music for harp from James Tenney. We'll hear from Changes, study number 10 and study number 11 from Changes, 64 studies for 6 harps on New World Records. And then from James Tenney again, Harmonium number 3 from Postcards from Heaven, another New World Records release from 2015. Music for harp by John Cage, Gloria Coates, Ivan Cherepnin, and James Tenney. And this is a 1980 composition from James Tenney, Harmonium number 3. Both of these harp, this is for 3 harps, both harp groups featuring Susan Allen from the university, from Cal Arts. First, we start with Barton McLean, Sound Worlds, the CD, the piece called Magic at Xanadu. You're listening to Martian Gardens, episode 971.
Thank you. Thank you.